This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week, we welcome new members of the Friends of the Magic Word, Mr. Roy McBrayer and Don Hendricks. Hey there, guys. Thank you very much for your financial support, and I want to thank you for helping to keep this podcast going. I also want to thank all the rest of the Friends of the Magic Word who continue with their financial support each month by donating through patreon.com/themagicword, and also even those who have given one-time donations. We thank each and every one of you. And for those of you who have the financial ability and you want to help the podcast, think of it this way. I'm doing these podcasts three or four, five times a month, and when we're doing these types of podcasts from the conventions, they are daily, so you get even more per month. And for only a donation of a dollar a month, that comes down to a quarter per podcast or less. So really, just kind of think about how much this might mean to you. Certainly, it's worth, I would think, more than a quarter per hour of your time or more that you get to learn and have some fun enjoying these podcasts. Well, again, if you have the financial means to do so, I would certainly appreciate your support. Well, enough of that, and let's move on then to what we have to talk about today in this podcast. And this is going to be the first of five different daily updates from the convention floor in Louisville for the IBM and SAM combined conventions. And I'm looking forward to getting there. I had to travel from by car, actually. We drove up from Houston into central Illinois to visit my wife's parents for a bit, and then drove over to Columbus for a few days to visit some other friends, and then are going to be heading down later today to Louisville for the convention, which is just a few more hours' drive away. So anyhow, it's a long way of getting around here, but once that we get there, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to be conducting some different chats with friends who are registrants, with organizers of the convention, going to find out how many registrants they have and what's going on, talk with some of the talent that's going to be there, as well as some of the dealers, and maybe some of the surrounding ideas of things to do, visitor attractions, that kind of a thing, to give you a little bit of the local magic of Louisville. It's a fascinating town, and there are certainly a lot of things to do and see on the front and the back end. If you're not here and you have an opportunity to come on over, I think you're probably going to enjoy the convention. The report I'm going to be filing now is actually really not the official first day, although I'm calling it day one. Really, the day one doesn't start until the 12th, but today is the 11th, and I will be reporting some things that are happening, because I think the first thing this evening is supposed to be a red carpet affair, and then the first debut and showing of Billy Toppett with Lance Burton, and then we're going to be having afterwards, I think, a Q&A, and then there'll be an autograph session and all kinds of things with some of the talent. So anyhow, and then the dealers open. So it's just kind of like a night before pre-party, if you will, but it won't be until tomorrow on the 12th, it'll be the official first day, but I'm calling this day one because I'm sure be a lot of people who we'll have a chat with. And so again, I'll be posting these updates on a daily basis, and so I suggest that you tune in. I'm not certain what time they're going to be posted. It depends upon how late that I stay up and get these things edited and put together and then finally uploaded. So it may take a little while to get this all done by the time that I kind of say goodnight to all my friends and come back up to the room for a few hours and put this all together just for you, because I love you guys. And I hope that you enjoy these podcasts then as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Don't know who's going to be the first person or people that I'll talk to, but I'm sure it'll be some fun. So come along for the ride, and let's head on down to Louisville, and I will see you there. This is Scotty out. Hello, Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just checked in the registration. I'm here with Dale Sawick and Fielding West. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing,
nice
Scott?
Nice to see you, Scott.
And you guys then as well. So let me get out of the way. Why don't we move over here so we don't miss, don't get run over by the guys pushing their...
You got 1,000 magicians running around this place right now, so
we do. Have you heard how many we've got registered?
No, well over 1,000. I know the cutoff is 1,200, so we'll be close to that by by tomorrow, I think.
So you're wearing an official badge, like you have got an official position this year?
Well, so I'm told.
What are you doing?
I've had the pleasure of putting together the shows and the lectures, close up and stage,
okay.
And
reaching
out to the talent and nationally.
Like you did before.
Like I did
brought
before.
You back again.
That's right.
Each time you go away, they keep dragging you
they
back in.
They renewed my option.
With the same pay.
For the same pay. It's
exactly.
A great pleasure.
And so you got fielding to your buddy to do something, and you're going to be doing
indeed.
Some emceeing work?
I'm going to do some emceeing for the FISM competition.
That's right.
On Friday night, and tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 till 5, I'm going to be lecturing.
Okay. So. Now, are you going to be talking about Dove Productions and stuff? New stuff or old stuff?
I have
stuff?
Some new stuff. I have some old stuff, okay. But it's a nice combination of all.
I still use your bottle production with the balloon
fantastic.
Thing on the top of that
right.
A lot. That's just I like the story that goes with it and everything. That you
I'm glad well. That only magicians are listening to this podcast.
Yes. They know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Only. That's okay. True.
You know, what you have to add to what Fiedelig said is he has a special course in public speaking, and he's going to, in his lecture, talk about the three principles that every professional needs to know on stage.
Yeah. Which you talked about before. Tell me again.
Well, I think what I want to impart, and thank you for bringing that up, Dale, is I want to talk to them about the course that I have, the personal mentoring course for public speaking. Mm-hmm. And with that, for these a lot of these young magicians, you know, they came here to learn magic. They don't realize that this is all one big giant package. Mm-hmm. Your delivery, how you enter the stage, how you exit the stage, all of this. Mm-hmm. Which, and you're standing next to a master who teaches this
in the Chavez.
In the Chavez course for many years. And this, I think this is our big attraction to each other because we... there's a lot of parallels in what he does and what I do.
Same language.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I find this to be the most important thing that a young person can learn. You may not, not all the guys that come here are ever going to be professional magicians. A lot of them are just amateur magicians. Mm-hmm. But you teach them good speaking skills, and they will carry that for the rest of their lives, no matter what they choose to do.
Right. So. Any career. They're going to be, doesn't
absolutely.
Matter, whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Professional, hourly wage, or whatever. That's going to be really good. And when we talked about that on that podcast when we were at your house, we went into some more detail, I know, about that. So I recommend for people to go back and just do a search on the podcast webpage there, and you'll find that. And that was one of my top 10 favorite. Lance Burton's too, I think.
Well, we did a thing where we started drinking Tito's vodka, and what had happened was an hour and 40 minutes later, we were screaming and jumping up and down like it was Mardi Gras. So the first hour is very intelligent, and then it goes into what I call the drunk magic, just like the drunk comedy on Showtime. It was funny.
And funny.
Very funny. Very, very funny.
Somewhere in all that, there's a lesson.
There were many lessons.
There were a lot of
there were many lessons. I should have reached over and just hit that button and turned it off.
That was one lesson.
Yeah, that was a lesson.
Learned. That's right. And so you are going to be talking about that. I think what's interesting also is that, I may have mentioned this before after a couple of vodkas, I don't remember if I said this or not, but about a lot of magicians who have decided that they, rather than hauling around a lot of equipment, it's easier to just haul around a briefcase and a clipboard with your notes on it to be a speaker. And so I've heard people who want to get out of magic and more into speaking. And so you work with those people are making a transition?
Absolutely. Just like in Las Vegas now, I've started off by teaching young magicians, and then from that I had a doctor come to me, and he said that he wanted to get out of the OR because he'd been there for 25 years, mm-hmm. and he wanted to go into administration. So he did not have speaking skills. So he took the course, and he came back, and he brought other doctors. Mm-hmm. I could charge these guys more money. Then I went to the Chamber of Commerce, and I found out that we had X number of new lawyers coming into the Las Vegas area, Clark County area, to clerk. And I said, hey, these are guys right out of law school. They've still got some money. They know that they're going to have to learn if they're ever going to be a litigator or if they're going to ever go to court and talk to any
right.
jury or anything.
Right.
So I started with those guys. So now I have a full-time business at home, and I have an open enrollment
right.
at Fieldings, well, it's actually called Stagecraft 101.
And on your website, they can actually enroll and get more information there.
They can go to fieldingwest.com, or they can call me directly. Yep. The website will officially be open on the 31st of this month.
Of July, okay.
Of excellent. July. Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you guys very much. Look forward to this being another great convention. Any surprises? Well, you're not going to tell us about surprises, but...
No, then it wouldn't be a surprise.
Exactly.
No. Let's hope that all the surprises are planned.
Yes, planned.
That's what I say.
That's good, yes. Pleasant surprises.
Yes.
Yes. And just those people who have been announced, can you just give a few of the names? Since you're the first
sure.
person we're talking
about. The first name that comes to mind that's never been seen, really, in this country is Po Cheng Lai from Taiwan. Marvelous, fast-paced act with fans, unlike anything you've seen before. Also Kenji Minamura, who's been with us before from Japan, mm-hmm. Ted Outerbrudge and Marion from Canada,
right.
Jay Sankey from Canada. So we've got quite a number of international artists and then others from around the country. Always my goal is, first of all, to pick people that haven't been seen, mm-hmm. and others, if they've been seen, it has been many years since they've been
right.
seen, so we keep it fresh. For the participants.
Right. Especially for something that's going to be a combined convention,
that's
people
right.
expect a lot more, and you're going to be giving
sure.
a lot more.
Well,
we
sure
can deliver.
So, yes. and then it's kind of a magical, mystical process how it all comes together. I can't tell you how it works. Mm. Somehow, over the year, the shows come together.
Yeah, yeah. You sound like Jack Goldfinger. It's like making sausage. It's,
yeah, exactly
it's not a,
so.
It's not a pretty process.
There's no rule book for
yeah.
it, other than common sense, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there's a creative aspect to it, obviously.
Right, right. Are you still producing the shows, by the way, on the...
I am. International Stars of Magic, and then I run the Chavez Studio, which I've been doing since 78. I have wonderful students coming through every year.
But the International Stars of Magic is something that's going through different colleges and everything
right,
around
exactly.
the
California. That's right, so I'm performing
California.
Art centers,
yeah.
yes. Particularly California, sometimes Arizona. We've gone to Toronto, some places back east as well, but the concentration is the West Coast.
So people who might be interested in attending or perhaps contacting yes. if they want to be considered for being on the show, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, easily. The best way is right now my email, which is solwack@roadrunner.com. My website is being rebuilt
okay.
as we speak. In fact, I think it's going to be up about the same time as Fielding's. We're friendly
okay.
competitors.
Okay. So. I guess in a way it would be. That's right. Well, it's good to see friends yeah. here then as well.
No, I have a tremendous respect and regard for Fielding. All yep. the work he's done over the years and the contributions he's giving back to the industry.
We
Public
all do.
Speaking
and
is a huge.
And
huge
he was recently recognized then by the Academy of Magical Arts,
yes,
you know, for getting the fellowship.
Right.
So congratulations on that.
Exactly.
Yes,
so.
Thank you so much.
And I was there and I told Fielding afterwards, as soon as he opened his mouth, I knew he was a professional. His delivery. His timing, his rhythm, everything. He's the full package.
You see, you started off and I thought you were going to say a joke, but you were so
no.
serious. You're not a joking
no,
kind
no.
of a guy, you know?
Not when I'm being taped.
You're very serious. Yeah.
Give me a couple of margaritas, yeah. that's another story.
There you go. You're into it.
You might be able to do that. That's right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Of
I appreciate
course.
It. So that was Dale Sawick and Fielding West from the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out.
Great.
Hello, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast here again, and we are awaiting the red carpet event, and I'm here with my friend Michael Perovich. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm fine, and welcome from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So you just flew out today, I assume.
I came yesterday.
Oh, so you got to kind of hang out and see some of the sights?
Yeah, I went over to the Fraser Museum today and saw the Kentucky Bluegrass History of Prohibition.
That's interesting.
It's fabulous.
Okay. What was different about that? What did they have that impressed you there?
Well, they had a lot of costumes and different things. I was looking for gambling stuff, but they only had a deck of cards thumbtacked to a barrel, so I guess people have been walking off with them. So.
That's interesting. So during Prohibition, was Louisville known for making bathtub gin or something, or what?
Well, they were because of the bourbon industry here, of
okay.
course. So they had milk bottles there that were painted white on
yeah.
the inside, and then they were actually filled with bourbon. So the milkman would come to your house to deliver the milk,
oh.
and it would be actually bourbon in the
okay.
bottle. So I thought that was cool. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah,
they had a lot of things like that. They also had a map of the United States with a color key showing what alcoholic beverages were produced in different areas during Prohibition and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lot of stuff about the, you know, the what went into it and how it started. And they have a model, you know, a mannequin dressed as Carrie Nation with a bunch of broken bottles
yeah.
around.
Right,
something.
Right.
The usual stuff, but it was kind of different. It was more Kentucky-centric. And
well, there are a lot of things actually to see in Louisville. I mean, the Louisville Slugger Hall of Fame thing
yeah,
over there where
I,
they make
I
a baseball
bat. I went there
bats.
Last time that
Did
we
okay.
came,
yeah.
and then all along the walk, then you see the bats and the different players that they have on their Walk of Fame there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then Muhammad Ali has a museum here. Did you ever get to that yet?
No, I haven't. But somewhat interestingly, I met him at the Magic Castle a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was up in the library, and he came up there and asked me to show him a trick. And I have this trick I do, and I realized at the end that I was going to embarrass him. And I said, I better not do this.
Yeah.
So I just kind of...
You changed the ending?
Yeah, I changed it, kind of flubbed through it, you know. And he was real nice to me. He told me to keep practicing, and he wasn't, you know, real... like you'd seen him on with Howard Cosell or something.
So you didn't sure. Now you didn't ask him, or he'd rather he didn't ask you about how to do the trick, did he? Because I understand he was very
interested in magic and
I know,
stuff. So
yeah.
No, I don't remember him doing that, but I don't think at that time he was real knowledgeable about sleight of hand and stuff. Maybe he was. And my brother met him like years later in Chicago. My brother was going to University of Chicago. He and some guys rent a house, and Muhammad Ali moved in behind him and cut down all these trees that were like a beautiful backyard for my brother's house. And so they saw him out there one day, and they said, "Hey, why'd you cut down the trees?" He said, "Well, security made me do it. They didn't want anybody to, you know, approach me because I got all kinds of security issues and stuff." And he said, "What do you guys do?" They said, "Oh, we're college students." He says, "What are you studying?" I said, "Philosophy." And he said, "Philosophy? I'll tell you about philosophy." He came over to their house and had a cup of coffee and regaled him with his philosophy for a couple hours.
Wow,
what a
story.
But I thought it was so unusual. I guess that goes to how famous he was, that both my brother and I met him on, you know, a thousand miles apart, different occasions.
Well, I had met him in Houston one time, and he was in a bar, and I remember, and I got a picture of him using a vanishing silk handkerchief, but then he would display the thumb tip, because according to his faith, I guess, he believed that you shouldn't be fooling anybody, you should actually tell them the secret, you know, that this is what reality is. So that's why I've heard some magicians say they were reluctant to try to teach him something, because that he was going to divulge the secret. Have you heard that before?
No, but it's sort of better in my estimation than say a minister doing magic and confusing that in people's minds with the real thing. So because there's two sides to that.
Yep. When I was at the castle, I didn't get a chance to say hello. I assume you might have been there during the week. I don't know.
No, I didn't. I didn't make it over. I was... I've been working on this non-magic thing I built for my brother, which is a replication of the game of Senet that the Egyptians played because he retired. I worked on it for 6 months, and I knew I was coming here, and I wanted to get it in the mail. So I was just, trying every day. I was making decals for it.
You finally got it finished?
I did. I sent it off, and he'll probably throw it away when he gets it. But
but at least you got it.
at least I got it off, yeah.
But I know you do go to the castle a lot, and so you get to see a lot of acts. And who have you seen so far that has impressed you that you would vote for, like, if not Magician of the Year, let's say Stage Magician of the Year?
Well, that's a good question. My problem is I can't remember their names.
Yeah.
And I see them, and then, 6 months or a year later, I see this name. I said, I never heard of this guy. And they'll put up pictures when they were, 20 years younger.
Oh, that's true.
And then I go in there thinking, I stand in line for 3 hours and get in there, and I said, I've seen this guy.
Yeah.
But I actually like more and more the stage shows, and one reason I came here is because I like those FISM-type acts. I've gone to a couple of FISMs where, I've seen so many people at the Magic Castle that it's unusual for me to sort of see the type of thing I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
But a lot of times those FISM acts are just completely different to anything I've ever seen, so I really...
That's a good point. So you see things here at a convention you wouldn't see at the castle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that I will, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of early pictures, the one that they had published for me, and of course they put out the brochure every week of who I was performing, they put a picture of me. It was like 5 years ago. Of course, now my hair is gray, my beard, I've got a beard, nothing like, and when they came to the close-up, I'm sure they were looking, who is that guy,
Every year or every time I've done it, they've asked for an introduction and a picture. And no matter what I send them, they use the first picture and the first introduction. Yeah. So this time I just sent them the same thing.
Well, they eventually changed the picture on the website, but anyhow, that's good. Well, I know you get to see a lot of folks, and that is an interesting thing. And so that's one of the reasons you like to come to the conventions, is to see something, particularly here, where you get to see FISM competitors.
Yeah. Because I've gone to conventions where I went, way across country, and I still saw the same people I saw in Los Angeles. Plus, I've seen a lot of It's Magic shows in Los Angeles, and they're more and more, I don't mean to complain about this, it's fine, but, mostly people I've seen before one way or another. And it used to be when, I think when Bill Larson was alive, he used to go to FISM, and he'd nab those acts, and so the It's Magic were a lot of acts that they brought over. I mean, it was a different time, and the show used to run for a week and a half or something. So you saw a lot of acts like that I look back at those programs and I said, geez, I saw him?
Yeah.
That's great,
Yeah, I know. I've been to a few of the It's Magic show back when Bill and Bill both used to produce that as well, and they would always go over to the Magic Hands Congress, Hans, what was his name, would put on. Magic Hands would put on. And anyhow, they did have a lot of really unique acts over here.
I remember when Johnny Hart was one of my favorite magicians.
I like Johnny.
And when my wife and I were either first married or first going together, I took her to one of those It's Magics, and Fred Capps and Johnny Hart were both on the bill.
Wow.
And I had my wife's hand, and she said, "You're shaking." So I got to see this.
You'll never see them again like that. Wow. Yeah.
But there are a lot of those European acts that I'm sort of familiar with now, but I actually didn't know that I saw them at the time, you know.
Well, I was just talking with Dale Sawick, and he was talking about he's the talent chairman for this, and he has brought over a few international acts from Asia, and I'm looking. I didn't recognize the names, but I'm sure that they're going to blow my socks off.
Yeah, it's some of those Asian acts. I just have no idea what they're doing. I know they're dressed in black, and there's something going on.
Some got a black art going on, but beyond that, yeah.
But yeah, you know, and I look at my little billiard ball act or something, you know, taking the ball out of my pocket. And these guys are—I don't know—it's just bang. Yeah. It's just fabulous.
Well, speaking of that, you work at the castle from time to time, don't you? Go and do a week at a time.
I've done some of the early, less prestigious guys, sort of the local guys that you know, sort of a mercy thing.
But they're really good. They're always really good. I was working. I met the guy, and I didn't know him before. And I'm trying to think. It's Frank Aiken. He has one hand. He's missing a hand. Didn't ring a bell. Anyhow, he was working early.
Seems like something I'd remember.
That's why I mentioned it. And darn, I feel bad that I didn't get to. I'm not saying his name properly. But nevertheless, I didn't get a chance to see him because his sack was full. And I talked with friends who did. And they said he is hilarious, very funny guy.
Yeah.
An older fella, looked like he's pushing 70. I'm guessing. Still doesn't ring a bell. No.
No.
Anyhow,
but you know, I the last time I performed there, which was I don't know a month and a half or so ago. It was the first time I'd been there since they changed the close-up room.
It's really nice there.
And when you do the early, you get there, it starts at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. and the castle opens at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So there was the first time I ever did it, there was nobody there to explain to me how anything worked, you know. And so you're backstage, and all of a sudden somebody's talking to you through a hole in the wall.
Right.
And they're trying to explain to me, you know, an old man
system,
how to the lighting system. I'm
the
back
iPad,
there pushing it, nothing's happening. But it's always so interesting to me that when you, because I've been in the close-up room right for almost 50 years watching people, but when you come out as a performer, then it's an entirely different thing, you know.
Right, exactly.
And you see the audience and not the show. Yeah, it's a fascinating experience.
Yeah, they have really revitalized that a lot, and they said they're going to be doing some more things, I guess, to the stage later in the parlor.
I think they're working on the parlor right now.
And they have a drop-down television screen, which is kind of cool.
That
they've got in there now that they didn't have last time I was here. But yeah, that lighting grid and everything that they have is just really nice in the close-up room.
I know they've been gathering a lot of pictures. I gave them some because you're not supposed to take any pictures inside the castle, but accidentally somehow I had over the years taken some during swap meets, really. And you look at these old pictures and you try to place them, and those rooms have changed over time. Mm-hmm. You have to be familiar with what the room used to look like to figure out what room it is, because that parlor's changed. A lot of times people look at it and they say, that's a close-up room. No, I think it's a stage. No, it's... you have to have a history of all the evolution, because the castle's just continued to change constantly through the years.
Right. So. One last thing, and I'm going to let you go. You were... you'd written the book on Di Vernon. What was the book?
The Vernon Companion.
Yeah, The Vernon Companion. And he only had a certain limited number of those. Sold out a long time ago. Have you thought about reprinting? Going to put it in paperback? Is it going to be available again, or PDF?
That's interesting. People act as though I printed it, and I didn't. It wasn't my decision. So I think the stuff was, and I agree to this, was transferred over from Stephen Minch to Penguin. And I haven't heard anything from them, so I don't know.
That's been a long time, I guess, ago.
Well, I don't know the whole background.
Okay,
I
was wondering what the status was.
You can maybe contact them and ask them.
I find out on that.
What's going on?
I love that. I'm glad I got a copy of it. Because I got it in a swap meet last time I was there. It just so happened.
Yeah, well, that one sold on eBay recently for $150. So I try to keep track of it. I would have bought the one you got, or somebody bought one time.
I think I bought one for $90 is what I paid.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Someone went one cheap, but I was at some convention, and a guy came, "Will you autograph this?" I just bought it for $20, and I was like, "Geez, I wish I'd seen that."
Well, the guy
buy it myself.
The guy had at the swap meet had like three of them, and somebody bought all three thinking that he was going to, you know, sell them, and that each one that he would sell, he would up the next price. And I think I got the second one, and he was saying the next one's going to go for like $120 or something.
Well, what's interesting to me is when people ask me to autograph it, but they don't want it autographed to them.
Oh. You know, so. Yeah. They're going to resell that. That's what they're thinking. That's why Ricky Jay signs his posters with your name, you know, to Michael from Ricky. You know, he won't just sign Ricky because so I don't want people selling my autograph. I think there are a lot of guys who are kind of like that then too.
Well, I just sign them. I don't care. I just, yeah. Just
I got a lot of Vernon's books. I'd taken them in one time. I had him sign them, and I wanted him to sign them to me, you know, rather than just generically. It's kind of cool. Well, listen, Michael, thank you. Enjoy the convention.
Hey,
good
thank
seeing you,
you
as always. Is your wife here also?
She is. Her knee got sore while she was on the airplane. I don't know, something about the seat, so she didn't want to walk over here tonight. So.
Okay.
That's her story anyway.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to this. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good seeing you.
Take care.
Well, take care. That was Michael Perovich for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We're still awaiting the red carpet to be rolled out over here, but I'm currently with the international president, not the past international, but currently still.
Still here.
Oscar Munoz. Hey, Oscar.
How you doing? I'm glad to see you, man. Surprise me. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. It's so really good to see you. I knew that you were going to obviously be here then as well, and so this is the culmination of a full year. How's this year been for you?
It's been great. I really enjoyed it. I wish I had another year.
Any highlights? What's the first thing that comes to mind as far as place you visit, thing you did? Something that was great?
I think that the new sitting executive board that's coming in is going to be exciting for the IBM. I think the EDF have brand new people on there. Is going to be new stuff that our members are going to really, really love.
Good.
Our new convention in Grand Rapids.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot cheaper than this convention or any other convention that we have in the past.
Why is that? Why is it going
to
be cheaper?
We decided to bring the cost down.
Okay.
You know, and we moved some numbers around and made it more affordable for our members.
Yeah.
So if they haven't had a chance to look at it, go in there on the website and look at it and see the prices.
Now, I'm going to be posting this podcast each day, so people will be able then to go to the website. Is there a pre-convention or pre-registration
thing?
They can go
to magician.org,
yep,
and they can sign up. It's already on there.
Okay, and you recall what the cost is as far as
early
registration?
I want to say early registration is $230.
Okay, wow, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
$230. Now, we haven't had it in Grand Rapids, to my knowledge.
We have not had it in Grand Rapids. We were going to, but it's not. That would be Jordan Horowitz area.
I know. I just talked with Sonny Johnson as I was getting in the elevator, and I said, how's June doing? She said, it's not here, but I said, I'm sure hoping that she's going to make it next year. She's going to be 104 next year.
God bless that I even get half to that point.
Isn't that amazing? Half that way.
Yeah. I'm almost there. Well, no, wait. I am there. I'm 53. You're right. God bless. I'll get to 80. How about 80? I'll take 80. Is that okay?
Yeah, 80. That's fine. Well, good. I know that you have a lot of activities. I'm going to run into you from time to time throughout this week, and I'll just kind of touch base, see how things are going with you. And so it's always my friend.
It's always a pleasure to see you and your wife around. And bye, guys.
Thanks a lot. That was Oscar Munoz. Scotty out. Well, I guess actually the red carpet has begun. I just didn't realize it. So we're back over here again, walking around, and everybody is here, and past president is Richard Turner's calling me. Why would he be calling me? Hold on, I'm going to have to pause this for a second. Nope, I'm going to have to call him back. That's weird. So I've got Dal Sanders with me. Hey, Dal.
How you doing, Scotty?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. So past national president. And you guys had your board meeting this afternoon, did
you? We had a caucus meeting this afternoon. We talked about some great things that are happening with the SAM and some things that we just had to take care of, too.
Yeah.
So
what's coming up? What's new, exciting that you can talk about? Like next year's convention or whatever?
Well, next year's convention is going to be amazing. It's going to be in Orlando.
Okay.
And the I would go to this convention just for the hotel. We've seen the hotel. I've got a great video of the convention that's going to drop on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's they provided some amazing drone aerial footage of the hotel.
Yeah.
And my video is just going to look like $1 million. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yeah.
So and the lineup looks good. And plus it's Orlando. You know, everybody wants to go see the mouse.
That's right. It's vacation land. Central. I mean, that's really a destination city.
Absolutely.
It's a great place. You know, when we had the IBM convention in Miami, it's okay. but it's like, why didn't we go to Orlando? We could have gone just a little bit further, you know, because really that's where it's at. That is, as I said, a destination city and things to do is to bring the family early, stay late.
That's right. And that's one thing we're trying to look at with the SAM. We're looking at more destination cities, more tier one cities to go to, and hopefully that'll help attendance.
I'll tell you a recommendation. When I was working on the selection convention committee, and I was chairing that, a place I'd recommended, but they didn't take my advice, was to go to Rochester, New York. I'll give you that as a clue. That's a great place. You go up and take, I mean, there are more things than you can imagine. I mean, it's like, what, Rochester? You can get in and out. They got a good airport. There are a lot of things to see and do. They got great museums. There's a toy museum. I don't know what all else. I don't remember now, but a nice theater, a great hotel. It's a small enough city, but has a lot of big things to offer. It's worth looking into it.
I'll bring it up to the committee. So
Rochester. Down the road. Yeah, Rochester. Because I doubt the IBM is going to select it. You know, I mean, I said, this is where we're going, and they said no. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I can't make any more suggestions. But anyhow, I recommend it. Very good.
Okay, great.
So anything you're looking forward to for this convention?
I'm looking so forward to the contests.
Okay.
There are some people here that they're entering the North FISM? American contest, which will lead them to FISM if they win. And I think that we have some real contenders. If you recall, when we were at FISM, I said that there seemed to be themes. The people from Asia, their theme was unrequited love.
Yeah.
The people from Europe, it was man against machine or man against nature. And the theme from America was, hey, look at this cool stuff
I can do. That I can do, yeah.
And there are some people that are competing in this contest that if they win, if they place, and if they get to go to FISM, will represent the United States and North America in an amazing, theatrical, artful way.
Wow. Well, you know, I was just talking with Michael Perovich from Los Angeles, and talking about some acts that he sees at Magic Castle, and he said, I come out here to watch those who are competing for FISM, because I see acts here that I can't see at the castle.
Right.
And so I think that is a big advantage. Now, the SAM is aligned with that organization so that you have the competition each year. I know the IBM does. We have that, I know, for the combined convention, but don't you each year also have some sort of FISM competition?
Past several years, we've been combining, and the North American contest has been with the IBM.
Right.
Back in Pittsburgh, we held the contest. We hosted the contest. But since then, it's been every year. It's been every time they've held it every 3 years. It's been as a combo.
And the one that we had here, the last combined convention, was, I believe it was in 2009, is that correct?
2009, yes.
Okay. And so then we had, what was the next combined? St. Louis?
St. Louis was one of them. Was there one in between? No, St. Louis, and now here.
Louisville, St. Louis, then back to Louisville.
Right.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yes.
Okay. So it's really not any kind of a schedule. It's just kind of whenever it happens to work out, really, for both organizations.
Correct.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Dal. Good
Thanks,
talking
Scott.
To you. Always good seeing you. So again, from the red carpet over here that lots of people will see here tonight. Everybody's here. The night before the big party, that was Dal Sanders. This is Scotty out.
Well, I picked up the call. There it was from Richard Turner, and I thought it was some interesting information that I wanted to pass on to the rest of you. It's quite a timely message that he left, and it's fairly brief, but something important, so I'm going to play it for you here.
Scott, Richard Turner. I want to give you a heads up, tell your magician friends I'll be the season opener on Penn & Teller's TV show for us this Thursday, July 13th, on the CW Network. At 7 Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific Time. 7 Central, set your DVR. A lot of friends in Austin or Houston, they'll be here later.
So there you have it. Just some information that Richard was letting us know and want me to pass on the word to be sure and set your DVR and catch him on the new season of Penn & Teller coming up soon. So there you go. Don't miss that. Well, now for something that would be a little bit different, and that is the Q&A panel discussion that followed after we saw the viewing of Billy Toppit. This features Matt King, who sits there kind of as the panel discussion host. There were pieces of paper passed out before the movie began that we could all sign to, that we could all ask questions and everything. And then later, Mac went through the questions and was asking this of the people who were in the movie and involved, like Michael Godot and Lance Burton and others who were who happened to be here then this evening. So for a short time afterwards, they did this little Q&A, and I thought you might like to hear some of their answers and some of the questions as well. It was rather lively and kind of fun. So enjoy.
Thing you learned making this movie? most important thing I've learned is the job of the director is to keep everyone making the same movie. Keep everybody. I'm serious. You come in to shoot, and sometimes people have ideas that they want to do something different, and they say, no, here's the script, so let's shoot this movie. So that's really it, just keeping everybody on the same page.
And I think making memories was the most important part here.
Making memories?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I went and watched a couple of days of the shooting, and it seemed like you guys were having a great time.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Lots of laughter.
Yeah, I think it shows in the movie, because there's a lot of goofing around.
This is from Elizabeth, not my sister. she left. Elizabeth from Michigan. Are there any technical aspects of making this movie that you're particularly proud of?
Talking to the microphone. Yes, Mr. The thing that I'm proud of is that all of the magic in the movie was actually, magic. Magician magic. It wasn't CGI. I always felt that if you're going to make a movie or a TV show, you're going to have a magician character as the star of the show, then you ought to be able to do the tricks, and it shouldn't be the post-production guy doing a computer. Special effects. Exactly. So that was one of the main things that I had in mind is all the magic we have to perform.
Yeah. All right. I don't think that's. I agree with you. That's a good point. But I don't think that's Elizabeth's question. Well, just technical. I mean, like movie making stuff. Besides the aerial shots.
Oh yeah. The aerial shots. The most complicated thing was the fact that none of us had ever made a movie, or written a movie, or done any of this stuff. We had no idea. Lance just said, let's make a movie, and we went, we don't know how to make a movie. And he said, so what? Let's do it.
Yeah. You didn't know how to do a magic show at one point,
exactly. I learned.
I think that there was so much talent involved in that film, and I think that the camaraderie between all of us was, everybody was working entertainers, and to put all of that together and to put it on screen was the most important part. And I applaud Lance for bringing all of us together.
Now, were you flying the helicopter that did those?
A lot of those aerial shots of the Strip, I licensed that footage from a guy in Las Vegas named Anthony Kugels, who's a terrific hypnotist, but he has a company that does aerial photography. He has several drones, so I licensed that footage from him. We did have access to a drone for a couple of weeks. Bob Massey, my director of photography, learned to fly the drone, and that shot going up the hill after we did the scene with Louis Anderson. Now that shot going up the hill with the drone, that drone shot was shot a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, and it was just me driving the car and Bob flying the drone. So that was at a different time. But that shot we actually shot for the movie, and some of that stuff flying over the desert, that was out back behind my house. So we shot special for the movie.
So the dirty hypnotist.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's really funny though.
That's what he does. He's got a company on. He does aerial photography.
So Siegfried from Las Vegas.
Unintended.
That's not a real question.
Yeah, it's a specific question for Fielding.
Okay.
What? It's Fielding. I don't know, it says Siegfried. Fielding, have you ever actually held a political office?
It's funny you should ask that, man. Not actually held.
It's not that funny.
I've not actually held a political office, but several years ago, a former governor of Nevada gave me a stay of execution. I'm not going to say that. Do you want to hear the rest of the story?
No, I don't want to hear the rest of it.
Fielding wants to be called Mr. Mayor from now on, so for the rest of the week.
Whenever you are in a Fielding at the convention, please address him as Mr. Mayor.
If you need any help moving your luggage, Max right here. He is willing and ready to help you.
Fielding is also
willing to answer to Mayor McCheese.
Yes, Mayor. So Jim Henson from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Jim Henson
wants to know, his question is, what card am I thinking of?
The Ace of Kermit.
Three of Frogs. Three of Frogs.
Yeah, they all can be winners, folks. We just
Julia from Missouri. I don't think that's how you spell Missouri, Julia.
She's clearly lying.
She's clearly from there.
I'm not with these guys.
This is for Joelle. How did you get
casted?
What's that?
Do you know Saint Creed?
How did you get cast in this movie?
Well,
I believe what she's actually asking is, what did you have to do?
It's terrible because I'm from Ohio.
Can you spell Missouri?
I can't spell Miss Beaver Falls. I started working for Lance many years ago, and then started to drink formaldehyde. Because we've been here for 2 decades, haven't we?
Yeah, you were an assistant on a live show for how long?
The last time we were in Louisville was about 19 years ago.
We did the gym. We brought you sharp. When did you start the last show? Was it?
1993. November of 93, I was cast in Lance's show, and I wore many hats, and I still am performing in Las Vegas as a singer and an actress. And
what is the show you're at? The Rat
Pack? I'm at the Rat Pack show.
And what hotel is that in?
I'm at the Tuscany Hotel.
She's playing Frank Sinatra.
No.
I'm Sammy Davis.
Joelle is a really talented singer and actress. In fact, one of those songs that in the movie is from Joelle's album. The song
dreams.
Where we get up in the morning and go, they go to the grocery and juggle, and we go to the show for the Shriners. That's Joelle singing. That's her song from her album. So the truth is, Michael and I, after we wrote the screenplays, decided to shoot the movie. We discussed it over, and we said, you know, I bet Joelle would be really good. And we asked her to read the script, to read for us.
It turned out she could read, so.
And she
that's important.
She did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been an honor to be involved. Thank you.
Dina C. I assume that's an initial. Dina C. from Shelbyville. I don't know, Kentucky, Indiana, I don't know. Anyway, Dina C. says, did you shoot this movie in order?
We shot it in order of ease of locations. Ease of locations. So the locations we could get first that were easy to get, we shot first. And as we went on through the movie.
So what was the easiest location?
Was Tommy Lang's house.
And so Tommy Lang,
who plays Russell in the movie, my assistant for many years. The first shot we shot was that bird on my head, pecking me in the nose. And
yeah, so Tommy was the guy in all the costumes.
Yeah, and so that was his house. That was Billy Thomas' house. So that was the first shot.
So what was the hardest location?
The hardest location to find was, I think, in practical, was the last shot at the Westgate Hotel. Because now you got to get a hotel involved. Because we're using their front entrance and on their property and underneath their marquee. Mm.
But they were nice.
They were very nice. They were very nice.
Alexis from Kentucky asks, how do you get that rabbit in your hat?
I called Johnny Thompson.
So that's back to what you were saying before.
That's Johnny's trick, and I asked him, I knew of it, and I asked to borrow it. He brought it over, and he was there that day when we shot that. And so that's John, so don't steal it, that's Johnny's trick.
Well, Lance would tell you, but then he'd have to kill you. So you know how that goes.
Well, and weed was just made legal in Nevada, something I'm just teasing.
No, you're not.
So that goes back to what you were saying too
about all
the magic being
for real.
Yeah, so that you can just show a hat,
No,
make a cut, stick a rabbit in a hat.
that trick. Johnny used in his act for years on the cruise ship. He produced this little dog. Pam has always had these little small
chihuahuas,
long-haired chihuahuas, and they wanted to bring the dog with them. And so they had to come up with a trick, you know, to say, oh, it's part of the act. So Johnny came up with that with the clue.
Is that how Pam got the act too?
Yes. It was the earliest version of service dog.
Yeah.
Right. It was the earliest way to get away with that.
Yeah.
The dog's in my show. I got to take it. They brought it on cruise ships. He's now.
It was an excuse to walk through the metal detectors at the airport.
So let's see. I have only one more question.
Okay, and then after this question.
And then after this question,
yes,
what are we doing?
We're going in the lobby. We're going to be there to say hello to folks. There's Keith West is out there. He's got all this stuff. We got DVDs. We got.
You can buy these DVDs?
You can buy this stuff. There's a whole bunch of DVDs, extras on the DVDs as well. And we'll be happy to autograph it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be there until everybody gets.
So there's DVDs, posters, pamphlets. All of us are going?
We're all going to be here. Everyone here, so get your
Come on out.
And a portion of those proceeds are going to the Kentucky Humane Society, too. So stop by, get a poster, DVD, we'll sign it, and animal adoption will be welcome. Got a question?
Yeah, the last one is from Diana from Jeffersonville, Indiana, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Lance, any plans to do a movie in Louisville?
Yes.
I should have asked you this beforehand,
no.
So you had an answer.
Billy Toppet, Farmer Magician. There you go.
I'm trying to rent into the sequel, too. Billy Toppet, Space Magician.
Yeah.
Billy Toppet, Pioneer Magician.
Pioneer Magician.
Yeah, we worked on a bunch of these.
And,
yeah, I liked all the fake sequels at the end, too. That was good.
Yeah, that was the end of a long editing process, and that was just... Oh, that'd be funny.
Well, you guys have shown remarkable patience sitting through us talking, but I think you should, you know, these guys really put their heart and soul into that movie. Another hand, we'll see you guys.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here with the president of the national president of the Society of American Magicians, Jeff Sikora. Hey there, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. So we just finished watching the show, the debut for Billy Toppet, and then afterwards had a little Q&A session with
yes.
all some of the guys and everything, and they're over there signing autographs and everything as we're sitting here. So what did you think?
Well,
what's
this
your first impressions?
Well, actually, it'd be my second impressions. This is the second time I've seen the movie.
Oh, it is, okay.
And I caught some things the second time I didn't catch the first time, so
yeah.
That was a whole lot of fun.
There's a lot of inside humor, I think, for magicians in particular.
Oh, absolutely. If you're a magic, if you know magicians, you're going to love this.
Yeah, you're right. I think I'd have to watch it second, third time, because there are a lot of people who I know are back in the background, you know,
yeah.
that someone's saying, hey, there's Norman Lupe, you know, Nielsen, are sitting
exactly.
in the audience and things. Oh, yeah. That's right, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things, they may not have had a starring role, but they were just kind of extras, you know, hanging out or whatever.
And it's really fun, you know, for you to look for those Easter eggs as you're
yeah.
watching the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun movie. I thought that it was something that it looked like that they had a lot of fun filming it. It's certainly a G-rated movie. It shows,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
magicians, instead of being a villain, you know, that they had to actually, he was the hero. I thought
yeah.
it was well written. So
and it was great to see Lance Burton doing magic.
Again.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yep, that's true. So tell me, what have you been doing over the past year? When last talked, I think it was the TAOM in Corpus Christi. You were
yes.
kind of getting started. So what's been some highlights and things you've done, places you've gone? Or
I'll tell you, I've been over the country, did about 10 different conventions. Went over to the Blackpool, England
yep.
Convention. Had a great time over there.
Right.
But some of the major accomplishments that have happened in the last year. And I'm going to say, first of all, I'm not taking credit for these. I'm not, because I've had a wonderful team working with me.
Yeah, of course.
But in the SAM, we have increased our membership. We, in the last year, signed on over 500 new members,
new members.
In the SAM.
Wow.
We've added 3 new assemblies. So we're just growing like crazy. I love it. And we're adding the back issues of MUM Magazine onto our website. so members can go on and look at all the back issues. It's a process right now. We have about the first 20 years on, but soon we'll have all of the back issues on. So it's just been great. We've had a wonderful time, and it's been a great year.
Anything that you're looking at for the future that is something that you can share, as far as, other than the convention for next year that's going to be in Orlando? But yeah. I mean, some things that are happening in the SAM to help encourage more membership?
Well, things happening in the SAM, we have a great guy coming in as president. In fact, the whole line coming up, just wonderful people. But Dick Bowman is taking the reins after me, and he's going to do a fantastic job. And, of course, you mentioned the convention that's coming up in Orlando. That's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Right.
And one thing that I think is real cool is it's within walking distance of Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And
oh, wow.
I just love going to those whenever I'm near one. It's just a whole lot of fun.
Yes, yes. Let me, one last thing is just to ask you about, since Mike Close has tendered his resignation,
yes.
I understand is no longer going to be the editor. When is his last month of doing this, and what are you going to be doing, and who are you looking for? Or
well,
what are you going to do next?
Michael,
getting an editor.
Yeah, Michael is going to be closing out the year. So for 2017, there's still going to be Mike Close issues coming out. And we're looking at a few different people. And we've had some great names come up who want to be our editor, and now it's just the selection process and finding the perfect fit.
Of course.
And
right.
I think we have some great people who want to do it, and I think that our members are going to be very happy with the product that we have.
Are you looking at going in a different direction as far as what the format is going to be, perfect binding, or different kinds of things as far as the change in the format for the magazine itself?
Well,
is that going to be up to the editor?
That's up to the editor. It's up to the board. It's going to be a collaboration. So I can't say we're going to do this, we're going to
sure.
do that. You know, it's going to be. Yeah, it's. But I think that whatever we come up with, we keep the membership in mind and what they want, because you know we're here to serve our members.
Right, right. Well, certainly Mike has done just an outstanding job.
Yes.
First of all, you know, David Goodsell was handling it so well.
Yeah.
And then he turned it over, I believe, didn't John Mooring take it then?
Yes.
He did a great
yes.
job, took it up to a different level than Mike did as well. So, you know, they got some big shoes to fill, whoever's going to be taking their place.
Absolutely. Oh, you said it. You said it.
But I'm looking forward to the future, because it's been nothing but going uphill all the time, you know, with increased membership and everything you guys
yes.
are doing. If you're not a member of an SAM or you haven't gone to look at the website, go and check it out, which is?
It is magicsam.com. That's magicsam.com.
Yep. And if you are thinking about coming to the convention, because I'm posting these updates on a daily basis, you need to come on down here, because we've got a lot of really great things that are going to be happening for this convention, certainly with some of the talent, the contests, the lectures. And you heard me earlier talking with Dale Sawick, who was mentioning some of the top acts that are coming. And you missed the opportunity to see the movie tonight, but you can buy the Billy Toppin movie online, and it's available, I guess, on DVD then as well. So anyhow, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You did a great job. Congratulations on
thank
your
you
year.
Thank you very
kind
much.
Of sit
I really
back and relax
it.
A little bit then.
A little bit.
But you're still going to be on the board for a while, kind of helping steer
sure.
the committee then
yes.
from there. And so from, where are we? Kentucky Center, I guess. That was Jeff Sikora, and this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are in the dealer's room. They just opened at 9:30. It's just a few minutes after that, and who did I run into? But someone who I've known for a long time. First met you with Steve Daly when you were traveling through Houston.
That was
Jason
years ago.
Andrews.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And you were kind of at that time. Steve is kind of helping you. I remember develop award-winning acts, and you just won act after act. And
what were
some of the trophies that you had won?
Yeah, so we toured for 2 years playing nightclubs, comedy clubs,
yep.
and worked on the act. And then I worked with Joni Spina. She redirected kind of everything, a whole different direction. And then the first award I ever won with that new act was the IBM
Convention
really?
Wow.
Award. Yeah, yeah, okay. The first place, 2010 in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the award that kind of launched everything for me. Ever since then, I've been working, so.
Wow. Well, and where have been some of the places? I mean, you've been working cruise ships?
Yeah, so I just finished a couple of weeks with Disney Cruises. It was my first time with them. It was great.
You did a sign an act?
No, I'm doing all comedy. The only silent act I do is that 8-minute act. That's
okay.
the only
That's
silent
a good
thing
act.
I have. I need more silent stuff.
Yeah.
I need more silent routines.
Because of people who are non-English speaking audiences
on
ships. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy, I like sharing my jokes and personality with people, but I feel like to work more internationally, you have to have more of a...
Well, now Levant has a lot of comedy, and then he will do manipulation, do something serious, and then he'll do comedy, and then he'll do linking rings
forth.
And back and forth.
That's
you know,
smart.
He's
working constantly.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's a great act then as well. So, aside from cruises, where else are you working around the world?
Oh, cruises. Yeah, so I did Disney. I was with Illusionarium for a while.
That's what I was thinking. A
couple years. Yeah, with
Jeff Hobson.
Jeff Hobson's Illusionarium. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was a nice little show. It was a book show, so it was the same show every night. It was their character, it was their props, their costumes, all that stuff. But it was great. It was a lot of fun working such a custom room with all the custom stuff.
Sure. But that's actually gone by the wayside because they decided to do something else with that room,
just
didn't
closed,
they? Completely.
Yeah, just a few months ago.
Because they couldn't find the right medalist, I think, the two person. There were different problems I think that they'd had.
A little taboo there, Scott. I don't know.
Well, I was considered. You know, actually, I was thinking about going and doing that. I had, but they wanted a two-person act because I was going to. Because Jeff said, you know, we want somebody, so I do a mentalism act.
Yeah.
But they said, well, it's got to be two persons. It's like,
that's the taboo part. They went through quite a few mentalists. Single acts, double acts, and it was just. I think there was a lot of drama there. But anyway.
Okay.
So
anyhow, they no longer had the Illusionarium, and so they went a different direction.
Yes,
and they did something with that room, even.
They went with a Cirque show, because the ship was repositioning over to Europe, so they wanted less speaking in the show, I guess, back to silent stuff, and so they put in a Cirque show.
But Marvin Roy had always said, you know, the best advice is to have just a good solid 12 or 16-minute silent act,
the more visual, you can work anywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it's visual.
Now, aside from that, have you gone over and worked with... Franz Ferrari, talked about maybe going over and doing that for a year?
No, you know, I've chatted a little bit, but I haven't been able to. They want like 3 to 6 months at a time, and I just
You have to have a big chunk of time to do that.
It's a big chunk of time, and I feel like this is true for being on cruise ships too. When you're away for that long, especially being out of, I'm from Las Vegas community, you lose contact with everyone. What's going on?
When you go to sea, you are forgotten.
You're gone. You're out of it. You're out of the loop.
Right.
So it. I mean, I'd like to go and do it, yes, definitely, at some point, but it just hasn't worked out yet.
This isn't that point.
Not yet.
Okay. So what is your future? What are you working on? What's going to be, where do you want to work?
So I'm doing some more stuff with NCL over the summer, summer and fall season, and then I'm working on a show for up in Oregon, opening my own show next summer, one show a night, 7 nights a week. That's kind of, that's what I'm angling for, is, you know, some little resort town, some little vacation town to go and do my own thing.
Yeah, and you're on your own also, so you don't have like an assistant that you have to carry with you or wife or anything, so yeah.
Not yet, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
just now.
Not yet, but you know, there's going to be that point which you're going to meet some dancer or somebody.
When I'm ready.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
when
like
the time is
some of the other guys have on ships, like they end up with a dancer and then they marry and then now I've got an assistant for life.
Maybe they're over in China waiting.
That could be. That's right. That's right. Thank you very much, Jason. Good luck to you.
Good to see you.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jason Andrews. This is Scotty out. All right, we just finished off leaving the dealer's room, and we were heading up in the elevator and happened to run into Tommy Ellison, who is a friend of the Magic Word. Hello there, Tommy.
Good morning.
It is so. Good morning.
No,
goodness. Almost.
Excuse me. Good evening.
I guess it depends on what part of the states or the world you're in right now. But so you had a story about David Hoy. So let me preface this by saying, as you had said, is that David Hoy's story was involving Walter Blaney. And if you'll go back to the podcast, do a search for David Hoy and for Walter Blaney. Put in both those names, and you will find the one that he tells a very entertaining story that is Walter does about David. And then also the actual event that happened on the radio, I've got that there as well. Thanks to Don Weiberg, who had a recording of that, and so I digitized and put it on the podcast. So you went to a David Hoy, David Hoy used to lecture around the country.
He was lecturing on college campuses.
Not for magicians, but actually just...
Straight lay audiences, college campus.
He wasn't teaching anything, though, was he?
No, he was basically doing a straight psychic lecture.
Okay, interesting.
With, you know, co-reading and people asking him where their car keys were, and it was pretty much a straight presentation.
Kind of like what Amazing Randy does, I think, whenever he would go and do something
exactly.
Like that.
Okay,
exactly. So he was...
And in my situation, I had heard a couple of weeks earlier, in finding out that he was coming to Sanford, a couple of friends and I decided we were going to go listen to him, and they had shared with me the story about Zanny Blaney and the radio broadcast and all that was entailing. And so when we got to the lecture, we listened, and it was a very interesting course, and he had a Q&A at the end. Mm-hmm. So I raised my hand, and he called on me eventually, and he said, do you have a question? And I said, yes, sir. I've just recently read your biography, and he said, well, thank you very much. You know, yes, it's available in, sure, you know, books, and pitched the book. And he said, you had a question. I said, well, yes. In fact, I noticed in the photographs in the book that you you have a shot of yourself levitating this young lady. Yes, that was a trick that I did when I was performing magic. And I said, well, I had a question for you, and that would be, whenever you got that girl up on that board and she was like suspended in midair, did you ever? And he interrupted me. He said, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Shades of Zanny Blaney. And it really caught him by surprise because he knew me from Adam.
Yeah, but he knew where you were going with that
but
story.
But he knew where I was going, and he didn't want to bring it up on a little Baptist campus in Birmingham, Alabama. So, anyway.
That's funny story. Thank you, Tommy. And so, again, I would suggest that people go back and kind of catch the rest of that. And thanks also for being a friend of the Magic Word, as I was saying. I think that is a good deal in magic from the standpoint that they get to. Now, she thought the story was exciting, apparently.
Apparently.
No, I think that was, she was on that board, maybe.
Maybe. She dropped her.
That's right. So the fact that I do podcasts, four times a month, and if you're only given $1 a month, I mean, that's less than a quarter a piece, particularly like when I'm doing these like daily updates from the convention floor here every day. So anyhow, thank you very much for your support.
You're welcome. Best Buy and Magic.
There you go. Listen to that. There's some supporter right there. So if you guys have the means, just check out at patreon.com/themagicword. And for the Magic Word podcast, I think we're going to call that a wrap. This is Tommy Ellison. This is Scotty out.